WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries and Window Nation. We will be at Luna Del Sea on June 1st. That's Wednesday. Really looking forward to getting down here in Tony's story. I've known Tony a long time down there. He's on Pratt Street right in front of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where this guy will be seeing Adley Rutschman stroke the baseball from time to time. And we call this the recon. Each week we get together, and you know, it was a little bit of a gripe session from the old Dan Roderick's days, and sometimes we comment on things. Don, this has been a really dark thing here the last couple of weeks because we've had 228, I've lost count of the number, school shootings, school incidents with guns this year in this country. And I'm just going to let you go because, like, you have been a first responder. You have been a teacher in these situations. And I just want to give you the floor the way you gave me the floor on abortion two weeks ago, being a teenage parent.
Oh, boy, where to start, right? Nestor, I would give anything to be able to come on here today and talk about Adley Rutschman's first 4 or 5 days in the big leagues. I think it's one of the most exciting developments in Baltimore sport in a long time. I'd like to come on
since
here.
Since Lamar held out of camp this week, too.
I was just going to say, I'd like to have the opportunity for you and I to talk about whether or not it matters that Lamar wasn't at camp. But unfortunately, those things seem insignificant given what is happening in this country. I mean, just a week ago, you and I were doing the recon, talking about a sick individual walking into a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. White supremacists just killing people, just indiscriminately shooting and killing people. You and I came on, as we always do, just aghast that this is the United States of America.
Well, the aghast part is you know it's going to happen again. And you just got to wonder whether it's going to be the yoga studio I'm in or the place you are, or the supermarket you're in or the school you're in or the concert you're at or whatever this is. We are not safe from each other if we are going to give automatic war weaponry to any citizen that desires it, that can get the cash over the table.
We're at a point, the reality of it is numbing, right? It's numbing. A couple of personal.
Well, the reality that you can live in Australia or other sane places, and this just isn't a, it's
correct.
Not a part of the vernacular in the same way that in 1981, when I met you, 1982 at Dundalk High School, could someone have brought a gun in? Yes. Might they have brought a gun in? Maybe. They did in Perry Hall, but what kind of gun that would have been? Awful. There would have been awful carnage. There would have been a few people that died. This is not the same as the kind of weaponry the NRA and the GOP and Vladimir Putin and the money behind all of this has begat for these people who vote for politicians who put automatic weapons in the hands of all of their family members on their Christmas card. Well, I mean, it's incomprehensible to me that this could be an attractive lifestyle for anyone in this country to think that worshiping guns and violence and glorifying this would somehow be a good idea for all of us, that would serve all of us.
So much to unpack. Think about what just happened, Nestor. An 18-year-old. Now, let's think about that for a minute.
How many angry 18-year-old white boys have you met in your life? How many angry 18-year-old white young men have you met in your life? And we've got one right here. You knew me when I was 18. No. We were all angry when we were 18.
Well,
right?
Let's look at some facts. An 18-year-old cannot walk in to the liquor store down the street and buy a case of beer. An 18-year-old cannot rent a car in most car rental agencies in the United States. This 18-year-old, several days after his 18th birthday, walked into a store and purchased two assault weapons, weapons of war. Let's not make any distinction.
They're not there to hunt rabbit.
And any of you who are out there listening want to email Nestor and me and rant that we don't understand that there are automatic ones. Stop. Just stop. Do me a favor. I tell you what. Just
take your gaslighting elsewhere.
Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe. Don't follow us. We don't have any need for that. We know what automatic weapons are. We can see them. This young man bought two automatic weapons. And more importantly, Nestor, I think it was 400 rounds of ammunition. 400 rounds of ammunition.
Well, the cops, we're learning now the cops wouldn't go in because the cops knew they would die. Right. Like literally, the cops knew that they had no chance against this kid with a weapon. They knew they would die. It's one thing to say cops go be heroic when you think you can be a hero. You know, those people that went running into the building to save people in New York thought they were going to get out, right? Well, I mean, literally, being a hero is about running into bullets. That's not being a hero. That's committing suicide. So these cops didn't go in. So we're now giving weapons to
weapons
rando citizens, you know, literally whoever wants one, and as many rounds of ammunition as they want to bunker themselves wherever they want and murder at will, because we don't have cops that can come in and even bring the situation to order, because one person has more weaponry than the SWAT team does.
I've had police officers for years now tell me that they are totally outmanned. And now, obviously, the new toy of choice is body arm.
Why would the Texas state troopers want citizens to have automatic weapons? Why would law enforcement people want to show up at the scene of a crime where the bad guy, whoever that is, the nut, the mental health, the poor military person who's been dealing with this for 20 years in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they've got a military weapon and an unlimited amount of artillery, what police officer, what politician, what citizen should want this?
Well, there are – all right, let's answer that. Let's take a look at that.
There's my Steve Kerr for the week.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Well, Steve Kerr is one of our new heroes, obviously. But there are many Steve Kerrs. You know, my daughter just sent me a note that they're organizing another March for Our Lives in Washington in June. I will be there. Whatever I have to clear, I don't know what difference it will make, but I will stand up, hopefully, with millions of other Americans saying enough is enough. Now, listen, anyone who follows me on social media, and I've gotten some fairly negative reaction to some of my recent posts, I have concluded that the only, and we have some good friends. You and I have good friends who are Republican elected officials. But unfortunately,
I saw several of them at the Preakness the other day. I
have concluded that the only way to turn this thing around is for voters to simply vote against every single Republican official, from dog catcher to school board to county council to general assembly, all the way up through the presidency. Make a commitment as a nation to vote against every single Republican official until they stop kneeling at the altar of the NRA. I mean, Nestor, the fact that
it's the constituency. This is popular. This gets Ted Cruz elected. This gets Abbott elected. I mean, even Beto O'Rourke coming in, that's going to get Republicans who shine their weapons and treat them like they're some sort of phallic item, that they're going to vote for Ted Cruz and not in that state, because their minds, the marketing that the NRA, and you know, Justice Berger's quote's been going around this week, right? Did you see that?
Let me just read that. Let's take a moment. Let's do a little social studies class here. Conservative,
ooh, Professor Mueller.
Conservative Republican Chief Justice Warren Berger, appointed, I believe, by Eisenhower. Yeah, I'm pretty sure appointed by. I should know that history, but for some reason I'm having a brain cramp. But let's listen to what this conservative Chief Justice of the Supreme Court said about the gun lobby's argument that somehow the Second Amendment applies to individual citizens. The Chief Justice said the gun lobby's interpretation of the Second Amendment is one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American people by special interest groups that I have ever seen in my lifetime. The real purpose of the Second Amendment was to ensure that state armies, the militia, would be maintained for the defense of the state. The very language of the Second Amendment refutes any argument that it was intended to guarantee every citizen an unfettered right to any kind of weapon he or she desires. Chief Justice Warren Berger. This is not, as Brian Frosch pointed out, this is not about constitutional mandates. This is not originalism. If you're an originalist, you know what the Second Amendment said, and it doesn't support Greg Abbott or Marco Rubio or the absolute worst human being on the face of the earth, Ted Cruz. They know
they're worst guys, man. I think about that every day worst, when I go to tweet about him.
He's the worst human being on the planet. I almost hate to dignify him by using his name.
This guy down in Florida, remember, that's got him beat.
Remember what a United States senator one day said. Said that if someone walked onto the Senate floor and all 100 senators were present and someone assassinated Ted Cruz. Now, again, we're not supporting assassinating Ted Cruz. Nestor and I are not violent people. But the senator said, if someone assassinated Ted Cruz, you would not be able to find one witness to the crime among the 100 senators. They despise Ted Cruz. But there is a Boston University, Boston College, I'm sorry. There is a Boston College professor by the name of Heather Cox Richardson. She has an incredible newsletter. I don't know how she does it, Nestor. It's called Letters from America. You can go on Heather Cox Richardson. Just go. It's free to subscribe. I know how hard it is to write meaningful, lengthy blogs. You know how hard it is. She literally writes one every night, and it appears in your inbox. It's one of the most thoughtful. If people read one thing every morning, I suggest they read Heather Cox Richardson, history professor, Boston College. She makes the argument today.
She's getting on the show.
I will reach
there
out to
her. There you go. There you go. All things are possible, Don Mueller.
I will reach out to her, even though we're going to cut back on my schedule a little bit so I can write some books and do some other things. I will reach out to her. But she makes this is why I find her interesting, Nestor. She makes a point today that it was actually the demise of communism and the Soviet Union that had been the right's boogeyman forever, that allowed them to refocus and turn their energy to ginning up the cultural and social issues that, as you pointed out, have the ability to energize a certain base of voters.
It's like you can tell any of these people that something's about freedom and they can put freedom to it. And And then it's all over with. Whether it's, you're free to do anything except abort your fetus. You're free to do anything that we say you're free to do, but that's, you know, we're free to carry guns, or well, you're not free to send your kid to school. Yeah. So the word freedom and how that's been bastardized through Reagan Bush and into this century, and how guns are equated with freedom, and religion is equated with freedom, which is an incredible thing, right? Like, you're going to believe my religion because I'm free. My God is the only God, but we're free. It's an insane philosophy for 30 to 35% of this country right now.
Nestor, you need to subscribe to the newsletter. Let me tell you how on target you are, which you often are. I mean, you have an ability to very often pick up on themes that
are... You know what we call in Dundalk? We call it cutting through bullshit, is what we call it.
There you go.
Like, that's what it is. It's cutting through bullshit. Because I've been a reporter my whole life. I've been lied to by family members, people, employees. But I don't like being lied to. And you get a bullshit detector. And if you don't have it, you perish on this planet if you associate with the wrong people. And clearly there are a lot of people in Texas who've associated with this philosophy that the people in Australia don't subscribe to this because they're smarter than that. And they're more thoughtful than that. And they haven't allowed dirty money and the people that make the guns to tell everyone they need one like it's morning coffee at Rofo, you know?
Well, your point about language, and here's where I want to get back to that. I really do think you would enjoy subscribing to her newsletter. Your point about language, listen to what she wrote this morning, and you're going to say, well, damn.
I didn't read it, by the way, so this is news to me.
You'd have said, well, damn.
I wish I would have written that.
Aided by talk radio hosts, they, meaning the right, increasingly demonized their domestic political opponents in the 1990 midterm elections. A political action committee associated with Republican Whip Newt Gingrich gave to Republican candidates a document, and here's the Nestor point you were just talking about, called Language, a Key Mechanism of Control. It urged candidates to label Democrats with words like decay, failure, crisis, pathetic, liberal, radical, corrupt, and taxes, while defining Republicans with words like opportunity, moral, courage, flag, children, hard work, and wait for it, Nestor Aparicio,
freedom.
I mean, right?
Did you remember when George Bush, the first George Bush, was asked about being, was it the first or the second? It was the first. It wasn't 1,000 points of light. I think it was, I get the two Bushes confused because they were so similar to me in their mannerisms and all of that. But we need to be free. We need to be freer. Now, and I don't want to do guns all day here and schools, because I know, you know, we have political races here. We had Adley, all these other things going on. I'm going to let you drop the mic on the guns thing, because we're not done. We're going to be talking about this again in a couple of weeks.
No, we'll be talking about, we have the, you know, well-known WBAL radio anchor, great guy, Rob Lang, coming on. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts. Just real quick, Nestor, a couple thoughts. I'll throw it back to you. You can do some Preakness and other things and take us out of here on a brighter note. But think about it for a minute. Governor Larry Hogan wouldn't sign a bill that Brian Frosch spoke to us about, the Attorney General, the ghost gun bill. Now, just so folks quick know what it is, you buy guns on the internet with no serial numbers, a sole purpose to commit a crime. The Maryland General Assembly, in its wisdom, said, you know, it's probably not a great idea. You would think, certainly, Governor Hogan would say, of course I'm going to sign that. He could not, because he may want to run for president. That's pathetic. I'm sorry, Governor. You and I have agreed on some things on that one. That is a huge mistake and really inexcusable. The other thing, Nestor, 90% of the country agrees with universal background checks. 90% agrees with red flag laws. Almost 90% thinks we should have a limit on large capacity magazines. Last point, Nestor, John Hopkins studied the elimination of large capacity magazines. They determined that the number of deaths, even if we continue to have mass shootings, the number of deaths in mass shootings would be cut by 56% if we limited the sale of large capacity magazines. Perry Hall High School, which you mentioned earlier, dozens, if not hundreds, of children would have been killed at Perry Hall had that young man had an automatic weapon and high capacity magazines. Nestor, I'm frustrated. I'm done. I need you to take us out of here.
I ran into Governor Hogan. I ran into Johnny O. I ran into Brandon Scott. I ran into Barry Glassman. So I was at the Preakness. These political races, I had Brooke Learman on last week. I was kidding Barry Glassman as he got me a beer at the Preakness that I was going to give him equal time. He told me he was going to demand equal time. We're going to have Barry Glassman on as well.
I love Barry.
I'm not letting this go on either side for anyone, for Marilyn Mosby, if she comes on. By the way, Ivan Bates wrote to me the other day. He saw Theroux was on. I saw Theroux at Preakness. Ivan Bates coming on the program next week. So we're getting out onto these races, but these big three races in Maryland, and we're going to have Heather Mazier on. I'm going to certainly chase that Andy Harris nonsense away as best I can. This next 6-8 weeks for every one of these politicians, and you've been on that trail. I mean, it is, as you pointed out on the porch, it's pedal to the metal time.
Yeah, pedal to the metal. I would encourage everyone, if you're interested in the big three races in Maryland, go out to donmoeller.com. It's free. Subscribe to the Front Porch. I'll give you a detailed analysis of each of those races as we move towards July the 19th.
All right, we're going to have a banner launch here as well soon. I saw the name up on the side, so shout out to Damien and Imtiaz and Kimmy and everybody making the banner go as well. We are here watching and subscribing to that newsletter as well so we can stay up on things around here. Also, speaking of the banner, we were nominated by the Baltimore Sun for Best Podcast. They must not have been listening to the show.
I'm glad you brought that up. Folks, Baltimore Positive, recognized by the Baltimore Sun, nominated for Best Podcast. Go out to the Sun website. Go Baltimore's Best. Vote for Baltimore Positive. We appreciate it. We appreciate you being here every week, part of these conversations, even when they're as gloomy as this one was.
You know what? I was going to say half of this show is award worthy, and I'll let the folks decide which half it is. But you know, Rod Woodson had the best line ever. He had 10 people on stage the other night, and Rod's one of my, I mean, three of my favorite people in the world were on stage the other night. I mean, Marvin, Brian, Jack Del Rio, and Rod Woodson, right? Just some of my favorite people. And Rod said, now I'm going to say before we start here that two of these people up here are full of BS. I'm going to let y'all figure out which two they are. And you know the worst part is he meant it. I know he meant it too. Don Moeller is here, former Baltimore County executive. We call these things the recon. They're all brought to you. And I was bragging on my friends at the Beaumont and telling everybody that I'm taking my wife to the Beaumont for her 50th birthday on Tuesday night with her sister. So because I said to her, where do you want to go? She's like, Beaumont's pretty good. I'm like, okay, we'll take you to Beaumont. Evan will like that. Everybody will like that. So we're going to be getting out this week. Maryland Lottery presenting the thing we do, the crab cake tour, the big fat crab cakes, even when they're vegan at the Land of Kush. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.